from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
We look at summer 2017's winners and losers. We judge Katy Perry at the VMAs. Is everyone reading way too far into Taylor Swift's new video, or is it just me? We look at the New Jersey Housewives trailer and talk TNT's Claws, plus more with Jesse Janity. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from host, producer, DJ, comedian, and returning co-host, Jesse Janity.
What's up,
Hello.
Grant?
Welcome back to the show. It's been a year minus a day since you've been back on the show, we found out.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Did I really come here on my birthday last year? I did.
You did.
And now it's Labor Day. Here we are.
Here we are back to talk about what's breaking and
everything
different a year
breaking.
Later. 1 year later, let's talk about it. From AfterBuzz TV and RealityT.com, it's your host, Grant. And yes, you can find my articles for The Real Housewives of Dallas, the recap, over on RealityT.com. They are up. They are live. Check them out. Please support. That would be wonderful. Let's talk about some stuff. Page Six has put out an article, The Summer's Most Sizzling Scandals and Triumphant Returns. And some of these I agree with, and some of them I don't. I love a good list on this show. It's been a while that I've broke down a list.
Okay.
And, you know, it's the end of summer, so it's apropos to take a look at, you know, some of these highlights and major lowlights, really. I mean, I feel like it's a weird time.
Yeah, and honestly, like you said, some of them I definitely would agree with, and some of them I'm looking like, that
right.
One's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Who's listening to that? Who cares?
So, scandal of the summer. Page Six gave it to R. Kelly for his accusations of having six young women in a sex cult, and a lawyer denied it, but three people supported it that were in his camp. So, I tend to believe the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I don't know about giving this the scandal of the summer.
Right.
But, I mean, this was definitely definitely makes the list. You know, I listened to all sides of the story, because I was listening to some of the girls, I was listening to the parents, R. Kelly's lawyers even came out with some stuff. I think it's 2017, and we live in a generation of people do stuff that sometimes we just don't understand. And you know what? These girls legally were of age. And I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's scary. I know that my daughters will be locked up in my house and
yeah.
Not going to know. I will not be bringing them to R. Kelly's house. And I think that it's more about parents making sure you understand what you're encouraging your children to do. Because otherwise they'll be locked up. Looking like kidnapping Halle Berry.
Yep. Next, they have the mooch on this list. I mean, that guy, you know, talk about a mess. I mean, a real scandal of 2 days. So I wasn't surprised to see him on here with the whole baby mama drama and the divorce. Then they have the comeback of the summer, and they gave it to A-Rod because he had a steroid scandal, and now he signed a big deal with ABC, and he's with J-Lo. But to me, on this show, the real comeback is Amanda Bynes.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, she's like...
I needed one more thing from her, though. Like, don't get it twisted. That interview was like, what is happening?
The whole interview, right? I mean, that was some low, like, I don't know what was going on.
But I was here for it, and I was really mad because I was like, how, they must be friends. Because how is this platform getting this interview?
Right.
Like, bring Amanda to me, and we will get what really went down with Amanda. None of this, well.
Yeah. Oh, she really didn't answer a thing.
No.
Supposedly now she's having wants to return to television, so this is why she's having a comeback. But
like
nothing's
a reality
broken
show?
Since. Like she wants to act again. Okay. I guess she would do like a comedy or a show about her. She said, but I mean, that was a couple months ago. I don't see where these things are going.
Paris Hilton's coming back with a reality show.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I'm trying to figure out if it's real estate based, because she alluded it to being that something in real estate. She said she has real estate projects going on and she's making a return to TV, reality TV. So I was like,
I would watch. I'll have to keep an eye on this.
I was interested.
Oh, I did not know that. So later, Page Six, they did say that they were J-Rod was the summer's winner of just winning in summer, I guess. because they were together. I don't know. I'm not interested in that.
Me either. And the fact that they even put for Scandal of the Summer, the runner up Mel B, like, I'm asleep.
I didn't even acknowledge that.
Right. Like, I want to acknowledge it because I want to just acknowledge the fact that why are you acknowledging it? Stop it. It happened. She got a divorce. I don't care. I don't care that she's arguing with Simon Cowell because I have to read the fucking, I don't care.
I know. I don't care anything about Simon Cowell, and especially American Idol, which we'll get to. Stars who had the worst summer ever, Usher, for giving allegedly 8 women herpes.
I agree with this. He definitely deserves that. He got worst summer of the year. Because I think that, you know, when you're that big of a celebrity, it's like, I mean, make sure your stuff is in check and in order. But this is also people, it's 2017. If you got something, there's a pill for it, a shot for it, or something for it, it's okay.
Yeah.
But you have to tell people.
Yeah.
You can't just be out here squirting green stuff out your penis.
Damn. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ugh. See, to me, it was Kathy Griffin. I think she had the worst summer ever. She had tour dates taken away from her. She lost her deal with Squatty Potty. She's no longer friends with Anderson Cooper. And, you know, it's all from her own doing. I mean, you know, I get it. But she still lost, like, a big majority of her career that she built. And now she's doing this international tour. And she's selling, apparently, according to her social media, they're selling really fast. But it's all, like, you know, like, Melbourne and, like,
but
you
that's,
know,
at
London
least she's smart enough
and, like,
to think.
Yeah.
Like that. Instead of being depressed and out here and trying to, like, cover it up, it's like, all right, bye, bitches. I'll be back when Trump's out of office.
I guess, yeah. She's going to make the money somewhere else, I guess.
But I agree. Where I think they messed up on this list is the Black China. That, to me, was Scandal of the Summer for me.
Okay.
Because I gagged. Like, just their whole relationship was like, okay. Like, are we really going to go with this? Why not? The Kardashian girls, we let them go with whoever. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this can change around. But Black China, girl, she had the come up of the summer, I think. Because she got the Kardashian name. She got the baby. She will always get that coin from the Kardashians. And now she got her own beauty lines coming out. Her
she
own,
locked everything in the summer.
Dolls. I'm like, that was smart. That was a real good come up.
Well, let's take a look at the VMA ratings. They are blamed for Katy Perry being a, quote, horrible host. They are the lowest rated in history, but what else is new? They've been on a steady decline since 2002 when Britney ran the world. I mean, it's a different day. Now we have to watch Lord prance around. I mean, what do you expect?
Honestly, like, VMAs is my favorite award show of all time. I've been very disappointed since probably 2003 or 4. Because those years of 99 to 2003, when Britney and NSYNC like ruled the land, those were the best
Lil Kim
award
with
shows.
A sticker on her boob. Iconic,
you know what I'm saying?
Moments.
Like, those were, yeah, it was iconic. You know, Lady Gaga almost had brought it back with like the meat thing and like her performances. But it's like you can't depend on one artist to, you know, do it. It was like back in the day, every artist, TLC, like everyone did their part to make the show amazing. This, and I know we're going to talk about American Idol, but my thing is this. Who is out here vetting for Katy Perry to host or judge anything?
Yep.
Like when they met her, they're like, yeah, she'd be great for that. Really? Because I don't see it. I think
it's
I'm sure
old
she's a nice person.
Executives sitting in an office at ABC saying, who are people listening to? Who's trending?
And because Taylor Swift won't do it. She's like, no, I'd make real money. Sorry.
Yeah. And she's trending probably not for her popularity. It's probably trolling. You know what I mean? It's not just because her name isn't out there doesn't mean everyone's in love with her. And they paid her $25 million. So yeah, because of these ratings now, people are saying apparently that executives are anxious and nervous that she's not going to be able to carry the show and all of this. I mean, well, I could have told you that.
First of all, who wrote her jokes for the MTV Awards? Like, they were so dated. Why are you talking about the Fire Festival that happened how many months ago?
Oh, my God,
ago?
I know. That's
it was cringeworthy.
News. The whole entrance with the newspaper and all that. She is just trying so hard to be like this voice of a generation. And it's like, please stop. No one's asking you. No one's checking for this. No one's turning in. Like, they tried too much to be like, we're an empowered young generation. And no one's doing
you
that.
You look like you're trying to be a Teletubby girl. Like, I can't. I was here for Danity. Not Danity. Oops. Fifth Harmony dropping off the fifth member.
And that was about the only thing that was like good.
But I was here for their PR of it. They were like, you know, it was no shade or anything. You know, everyone keeps saying like, will you be called Fourth Harmony and all this? And all we were saying is that, boom, we're still here. I was like, go ahead. That's a cute little cleanup right there.
Yeah. I mean, it says enough, just what we saw. I don't think we need anything else. I gotcha. So last year it had 6.5 million. This year is 5.5. Just to look back in the good old days, 2002, it was almost 12 million people that watched the show. So it just shows the real sad decline. And just to say, in 2002, when it was at its height, was when Britney presented Michael Jackson with a birthday cake.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You really can't even recreate that moment today.
Nope.
So, you know, it was up against Game of Thrones. So, of course, everyone's trying to make excuses. But, I mean, as far as digital streams, last year it had 62.8 million streams in, like, the first week of it airing. So people are watching just in different ways, but I don't know why. There's nothing that separates the VMAs from, like, the AMAs at this point. It's like whoever's got something to promote will show up.
Exactly.
They'll do a medley. They'll do a song. They'll cut to people in the audience clapping, and that's it. What's the difference?
I mean, for me, it was more like I started watching it live, and then when Lorde came, it was just like, okay.
That's when a lot of people dropped off. My sister said the same thing.
I just changed it before. I was like, I was actually at AfterBuzz, and we were watching. I was like, it was a force to even sit through this. And now I know she gonna come next. Like, get your money, girl. I support you, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a human, I support you out there because someone buying it. Not me, and I can't even watch it.
Yeah.
So then I went home, and I was like, I just watched the performances on YouTube. And
that's what I did the next day at work. I watched like three of them because I didn't have much of an interest in anybody else.
Exactly. Like, Shawn Mendes, you're an attractive man, but you can't sing.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I really don't. I mean, I'm sure I've heard the song a billion times, but I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Yeah, I'm not interested. Katy Perry was not shown watching the premiere of Taylor Swift's music video. So, of course, people read into this, but they said that she was in a routine costume change, so she wasn't going to watch. And what were they going to do? How can they cut to her? Were they going to put a little square and cut to her watching a monitor? Like, why would they do that? Then it would just be more shade because it would have ruined her moment, Taylor's moment, who didn't even show up.
Exactly.
So who cares? Apparently, Katie wants to move forward, but Taylor isn't budging on it, according to all these reports and E! And all this. So basically, they feel that the best thing... I mean, I feel like the best thing they have is this back and forth.
Okay, so, you know, we come from the Britney Christina times, and I'm just kind of like... I would gag if they really are just friends and like, let's make money off this.
Yeah.
Like, let's write music. Let's just go back. Let's let the world believe that we just hate each other because that's what they want. That's what we want. We want them to hate each other.
Right.
When Taylor Swift came out with Look What You Made Me Do, I've never liked a Taylor Swift. I think there's one. I don't even remember the name of it, but I know if I searched through it, I would be able to find it. I remember what the music video looked like. That's the only Taylor Swift song I like.
Yeah.
But when this song came out and when Katy did the Swish Swish one, I was actually more of a Katy fan at first with like her first two albums. When she came out with the Swish Swish song, I was like, this is low-key trash, but I'm singing to it because I like Nicki Minaj's part. But like the lyrics, I'm like, why are we talking about a shellfish, a sheep? Like, you're really singing these lyrics. Like, okay. And when Taylor came out with Look What You Made Me Do, I was just like, this is a song. Like, this song will be around. It will just always be around. It's written well. It's written so well. It's catchy.
But what is it about? Like, I've been listening to this song. I know some of the words.
Personally, I feel like it is one. Everyone's trying to make it into like, oh, she's coming for Kanye. She's coming for all these people.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's, in general, just a hater. But I think she actually had Katy Perry 100% in mind. Like, girl, look, you know what? Everyone wants to sit up here and say... Because here's my thing with Taylor Swift. Everyone always makes her out to be like this, like, oh, she puts this goody-two-shoe act on, but in real life, she's a bitch. I'm like, well, then I'm a bitch. Because when I'm on camera, I have a personality, and I'm not going to throw my moods on camera.
Right.
You know, you go on camera, you're here to present, you're here
totally.
To be this, make people relax and get out of their minds. So that's what Taylor Swift does. She writes, she puts this, she becomes these characters where I feel like at the end she showed all the different Taylor Swifts. But what I think it was like, okay, everyone wants to say I'm like this little, like, you know, girl with the guitar and all this. No. All right, Katy, bitch, swish, swish, I'm going to show you a swish. I'm gonna write a pop song that technically, because I do believe Taylor Swift has ghostwritten for Katy Perry before, and I feel like that was proof with this song, because this song is a Katy Perry song.
Oh, I never thought
like
about
really
that way.
Think about the way that it is. It's very like what's the dark horse Katy Perry. So I feel like Taylor was like, all you bitches out here want to talk all this shit. Okay, I'm gonna write a song. I'm gonna write a song so good it's gonna be a pop song. I'm actually gonna use a beat from one of the most famous songs in music. I'm gonna rebring it back. And then, because you guys want to think that I'm this skinny little, you know, girl with the guitar, no, I'm going to do a sexy video, and I'm going to do the videos like everyone else is out here freaking doing, and then guess what? At the end, I'm going to do choreography. All right, Katie, you can't. You try to do choreography, Katie, but it's whack. And not to say Taylor's was everything either, but just the fact that she did, like, look what you made me do. Now I have to come for you bitches. Here's my reputation. Boom. You want me to be the bitch? I'll be the bitch.
I got it now, because at first
does that make sense though?
Yeah,
that's where I went with it. It could be a you know, me and my conspiracy theories, but
no, but it makes more sense now, because I was like, well, what is this? Like, the video is its own thing, and I like the video. The song, though, I just didn't understand for the life of me. It was catchy, it was whatever, but it was out of left field. And I feel like, as far as a musician goes, she's one of the more talented ones that can write, sing, and actually put together like a real song that makes you feel something or is catchy, but actually not like everybody else. And to me, this was like everything else. And it just put her on the same level as like, meh. For me, like, okay, like anyone, this isn't a typical song that like someone would write for Britney and Britney would put out in like her fourth track on
but
the
I
album.
Feel like, you notice the motorcycle part, I felt like there was little digs to every pop star. Like, I can be a pop star if you guys want me to be a pop star. I can. Look what you made me. That's why it's like,
okay,
I had to go into it with that thought, because I was just like, and everyone's like, why are you so obsessed with it? I'm like, because I genuinely think it's actually genius, because that isn't Taylor Swift. That's not what she typically puts out. But it's like, okay, I've already made millions and millions of dollars. I have more followers than all of you still, and you still try to come for me. Like she says, she's been knocked on the ground, she'll raise from the dead, kill him with success. Like, I just thought it was just so pop genius, and it's fun. It's Coke versus Pepsi, it's Britney versus Christina. It's like, yes, she I didn't show that. Up to the awards show, she sent her music video and was like, bye Katie.
But then the new song that she put out, she released, I'm like, well, what is this? We're still going in the same direction of cheap music.
I didn't really care for that, and I'm like, maybe I need to give it a full chance, because like, look what you made me do. It was instant when I heard that. I was like, oh, this was ammo. This is like some good
I like the video, because the video speaks a lot more. Like, the song just went over my head. So to me, I just didn't translate, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, this girl's so much more musically better than this. Like, what is this as a piece? But as a statement, what you're saying, I totally understand,
because like Reputation, she deleted her whole Instagram.
Yeah.
And put the snake. I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of evil, but I'm kind of into it, and I kind of support it. And because I've never really cared about anything Taylor Swift was doing. And this was the first time I was like,
she made people notice. She did.
She going to come for who? Like,
she took her whole Instagram off. Like, her whole image is done. And so I'm wondering, though, like, if you listen to this album, are there going to be, like, two or three songs that are rough and then we're back to where we were? Or is this a real new direction for her? Because if it's – I want her to commit. But if it's really a new direction and she's just going to do what everybody else is doing, then what's different from her
where
to everybody
I'm
else?
Where I'm hoping it is that – you know, that's why I have to give the other song a real chance. I just quickly listen to it,
same,
like with
like
people.
Twice.
But I want to listen to it in the same sense that I listen to Look What You Made Me Do, because I got it, that one.
Right.
And I mean, I love the idea of Reputation, because, like, you just see people, like, all she did was release a picture from the video. I was like, she's copying Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce literally copies every European artist, and no one says anything. And then when I watched this video, I didn't get anything Beyonce from that video. Like, could you put things together in Illuminati conspiracy theories? Of course you can.
The bat.
But like, I mean, like, did Beyonce create the walking down the street with a bat? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know. I just think that people are reaching.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the things that are references to whatever in the video. The car crash with the blonde buzz cut.
Loved it.
She's got a big ponytail on. So when I first saw it, I was like, oh, she did not do anything. People just read into this. But then the Grammy is cradled, which Katie doesn't have.
And it looks like total Katie swag.
The hair, the glasses from like the Welcome to Waking Up in Vegas video. Yep. Some like it looks like Nikki Swift to the whole thing on all this. And they went in deep, and that's where I got a lot of these things from. And like Billboard. Billboard just put a lot of this stuff too. Like dancing with the cat head mask on, like for her fans.
And they're robbing the bank, like how she says in the song, "You took over my kingdom," or something like that. Like she, and it's funny if you listen to it, the lyrics in the second verse, and I think artists do this a lot, but so she says something about your, "I don't like your kingdom keys." When you read the lyrics, it says that. Mm-hmm. But when you listen to the song, it's almost like she recorded, "I don't like your kingdom, Kate." And then the next sentence starts with E. And so if you listen to it a whole, "I don't like your kingdom, Katie." And I was like, oh, I could be reaching with this.
All right, this feud is officially exhausting for me, though. I'm like so over it. Like, even Katie's over it. It's a one-sided feud now, I think. I'm done with it. Like, I see the video. I see what she's saying. And she's entitled to have her clapback moment. But this is it now. Can we have this?
No, but I think this was the clapback of all time. Yeah. This was like, your Swish Swish was, first of all, that Swish Swish video was the biggest Space Jam disappointment in the entire world.
Oh, I couldn't even get through half of it. And I was like, wait a minute, there's so much potential for this. Only thing I will say, I loved her performance on SNL of Swish Swish. That was so outrageous and over the top. And that was the only one that I liked.
Awkward as hell.
That's why I liked it. That's exactly why I liked it.
I mean, it went viral.
Now, the snakes in this video for Taylor Swift are supposed to be Kim and Kanye, I guess. I mean, according to who?
Yeah, I would think it would be more, she's saying it to Katie. That's what the whole thing is. You were a snake. You went behind my back and did these things. Like,
what did she do? What did Katie even really do?
I don't really
understand. I'm not defending her. I'm just kind of like, all right, where are we going with this?
I don't really understand the story. That's why, like, I've never paid attention to this song. And I was like, oh, wait, why is this so relevant? And then when I looked into it, I was like, oh, this is a little, this is like real Britney and Christina, except there's actually like something for, because they were actually friends. Britney and Christina were never friends. But apparently, back in the day, Taylor had her dancers, and when she was off tour, Katie had hired her dancers or something like that. Some stupid. And I'm just like, and then it was like interpersonal things between their friendships. I wonder, that's why I say, I wonder if Taylor has ghost written for Katie before and maybe didn't get credit. Because, you know, in this industry, it's like, it's hard working with friends sometimes, because sometimes two friends go into the same room and someone gets more attention and might get something out of it, even though you were the one that brought that friend there, you know? And I'm wondering if it was something along the lines of that.
Yeah. Why are there no interviews? I feel like someone needs to hash it out with Taylor and be like, let's talk about the video.
Because Taylor Swift is building a lifelong brand. She won't be a Katy Perry. Taylor Swift to me is a Bruno Mars. Taylor Swift will always be in the industry for this specific reason.
But why is she not doing interviews?
Because why does she need to? Beyonce doesn't do interviews. Taylor Swift is always going to be Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift ain't worried. Taylor Swift knows who her friends are. Taylor Swift knows where her money's coming from. Whether she puts a music video out, she can write a song. She'll be like, what you want to talk about? And I think it's more about than she has the power. I think Taylor Swift is really smart. I think she knows she has the power to release, I don't need to do an interview. I can do a Ustream and you will all tune in and I'll give you the information that I want to give you. You know, and then when she does her big sit down, it's going to be like, oh my God, Taylor Swift's getting an interview.
Right, right.
It's kind of like when we look at Britney, it's like, I'm still waiting for the Britney interview. We've never received it.
Yeah.
But like the real one where someone sits her down and be like, girl.
Her Oprah moment.
Like, what drugs did they have you on?
Right,
like, did you know you were being played and used and taken advantage of? Like, that's the Britney interview I'm still waiting for.
I know.
But it's never going to happen.
I know.
Until you bump into the street and you have an iPhone, you're like, girl.
I know. I've long abandoned hope on that.
Yeah.
I love talking music with you because you're all, you know, these feuds, you know, you can read right into it.
Nerdy about it.
Yeah. I mean, it just the video I really enjoyed because once I watched it, it was like there's so many little things.
You're like
kept
Michael
going
Jackson
with it.
At first. Like,
yeah,
instant.
I kept following. So I caught it all, but as far as hearing this song, I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Little interesting fact, though. So they were talking about the bathtub with all the jewelry in it, and that's supposed – they're saying that that's about Kim being robbed in Paris. But that bathtub was actually filled with all real diamonds. Like, it was worth over, like, $300 million in that tub. God. I'm like
– damn. And they had the dollar that was supposed to represent a dollar she made in a lawsuit with a local DJ who groped her or whatever. And they awarded her $1 and in the suit. And so that's why there's $1 there.
Really?
It's supposed to show that it was worth more to her that she won than just money.
Okay.
Who knows? This is all, you know, interpretation. I don't know, but...
But we're still talking about it.
Yep.
Taylor, you went in. Sorry, girl.
Mm-hmm. So from a feud that won't end to a show that just seems to go on forever.
Forever.
I got a tweet from @CullenRost1, and he asks, @It's Grant's Rants, will you please react to the Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer on your podcast? And yes, let's talk about it.
Pay attention, please.
The Real Housewives of New Jersey is coming back October 4th to Bravo, and I'm going to be a little bit more excited about it because I just feel like I have to. The show is what it is, you know, and it probably the most, what's the word? What's the correct word? I just want to make sure I'm saying this correctly. Anticlimactic. We'll use that word. Danielle was only on Real Housewives of New Jersey for 2 seasons, but the show has not recovered, in my opinion, since her exit. And I think they should have done a classic, like, soap opera style promo of a real return of the OG villain. Instead, they've got this girl walking down the stairs and saying the bitch is back, and then they're making jokes on a beach. There was such a threat there of this character coming back. Even up to the end of last season, they discussed it at the reunion, and they asked Ziggy, they said, what would you do if she comes back? If a certain someone comes back, she's like, well, that's what we're going to have to deal with. So there was like all this like pent-up anxiety about this return, and now it looks like they're all friends.
I mean, honestly, it looks like Bravo was like, ladies, we got to step it up. Everyone's a little washed out here. And yeah. And I ain't talking your wrinkles on the face. So what we need to do for ratings wise, because I mean, even looking at that, I'm like, Teresa looked even more bipolar than I've seen her based off that promo. I'm like, are you Drita now? Like, what's happening? Like, is this Mob Wives? Like, who's editing this? And that's the other thing. I really would love to like get involved with Bravo just to understand like the editing process between all the different Housewives shows. Because I wonder, like, is it the same people that do it? Do they have different teams? Like, who really? Because I feel like they're all edited differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, the shows are edited differently because they're all different production companies. For the most, it's like 4 or 5 that do all the Housewives, so they are done differently. But as far as like the in-house promos, like the one on BravoTV.com, I tend to think that that's Bravo editing, because they have the same rise and fall. It looks like fun for the first 40 seconds, then there's an emotional moment in the middle, and then it just goes wild after that. So
it's
the
very
same...
Buna Murray, Bad Girls Club.
Yep, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, I want to be more excited about this show. I'm definitely going to look at it. I've waited forever for Danielle to return. But it's just, you know, they promised this wild, over-the-top trailer that's going to get everyone talking. I mean, are you going to be talking to anyone? You just saw the promo. I mean, are you texting anyone?
I'm going to be forgetting about it as soon as I walk out. Like, I'm just, my thing is, and maybe I'm biased, because this year I've just kind of put reality TV to the side. You meet so many of these people and you just hear the production and the overproducing and how it affects them in real life that it's like, okay, I'm tired. Like, I'm tired trying to figure out who you are as a person in real life versus who I see on TV. And to be quite honest, I actually really don't care. And so I had to take a little break. Now I see that and I'm kind of like a little like sparked up, like, okay, well, Danielle, come back. Let me just take a peek, you know? And so it's, I feel myself getting the itch and the urge to go back and watch some stuff. But yeah, no, that trailer seemed very forced. It seems like those are probably all the peak moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just going to be like, we're going to be disappointed, because when we see those moments and then they probably get put out, the fires get put out right away and we're like, this is what we've been here all season for? All 20 how many episodes?
I'm very disappointed that Danielle is not a full-time cast member. She's just a friend of. And instead, they gave the other slot to this girl, Margaret, who is 50 years old with pigtails. And according to In Touch magazine, she should fit right in because she already owes $12 million after being sued in 2014. So someone else who doesn't have any money to spend but does anyway. So perfect.
Right on in with the girls.
Exactly. Like, she's already has the same DNA as the rest of them. So, yeah, I mean, the show returns October 4th, as I mentioned, and I'll be taking a look. But I just fear a long and drawn-out season. I don't think this show needs to have the required 32 weeks or 28 weeks. I mean, just let's just tell a succinct story in the normal amount of time with not a lot of filler.
And I feel, honestly, I feel the same way about Atlanta. Like, at this point, it's like the cast is so shaken up. It's not the same story. It's like, Bravo, like, I know y'all want to make your money, but bring us back to, I go back to, like, all the Housewives are good for, like, the first three to four seasons, and then they fall off after that, and it's like, we need a revamp. But don't revamp the cast. Revamp what y'all are doing. I don't know. Like, I would love, my goal for Bravo is to get, like, an ultimate housewife
situation. Like, on All-Stars.
Yep, and also send them somewhere on a trip, on a vacation, and let them stay a seven-night stay in Greece, and what happens with that? Because that's
And they all know each other. Yeah. They all have been pressed or have heard something about someone. So it's not like it's five strangers. Nope. There's a lot of ego there. There's something to that. They just need to go Nene, all in Bethany, VH1 style.
Yeah, like, come on. Throw Ramona up in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect. Tamra.
Yep.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, so, all right. I don't know what else to say about New Jersey other than it looks like more of the same. I'm not buying anything that Siggy's selling, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, fun fact. My friend is actually in prison with Joe Giudice.
Oh, really?
They share the same, I don't know, area or whatever, and he said Joe's known as a bitch in the
prison. Wow.
Yep, people don't really mess with him. Like, they kind of tell him what to do. He just kind of keeps to himself. Thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
And Apollo was in there too.
Oh yeah.
And apparently Apollo knows my friend now, and now he's trying to contact me. I'm like, do not have Apollo contact. No.
Oh my god, this world, if you get sucked into this world.
Yeah, like,
much.
No.
Yeah, I can tell you are out.
Out. I have clocked out, checked out. I've been focused more on the music end, so.
There you go. We'll talk more about that and other things coming up in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Jesse Janity all about TV and music and a lot
Britney
of things.
Spears.
Britney Spears during the break, yeah. Of course, she has to come up. Icon. Let's talk about a show that you covered at AfterBuzz, and a show that I've been dying to talk to somebody about, and I love the show Claws. It has since ended its first season, but it's coming back for a second. And look, there is, as of the time of recording this show, this is Labor Day weekend. There is zero on television right now. Like, even YouTube, I go on and it's like Judge Judy clips. Like, there is no one's coming up with anything. So if you're waiting for the new fall season and most shows come back the last week in September, you've got plenty of time to watch Claws.
It's everything.
It's worth it. I'm not being paid to tell you this. This is a show that I've just been dying to talk to somebody about. My co-hosts since June have not watched it. And I've been really into it. Banking episodes, but I finished it now. And for those who want to know what it is, it's described as a TNT show that follows the Florida nail salon owner Desna, played by Niecy Nash, who takes up money laundering for Dixie drug kingpin Uncle Daddy after being wooed by his nephew Roller. But she catches him hooking up with her employee Virginia, played by Karrueche Tran, who went over my head the entire time. And she shoots and presumably kills this guy, and it goes on and on, and it's soapy and dramatic and messy, and ratchet and funny, and I really enjoyed this show so much. Now, what did you think of this?
I loved it. I didn't know what it was a few weeks prior to, and my friend was like, you have to cover this show at AfterBuzz and yada yada, and I was like, okay, I'm down, I support it. And every week it was just like, it was written so well, the cast was just put together so well. Karrueche blew my mind. Like,
I did not know that was her. I don't know why, but it went over my head. And I feel like I'm like on this show, I feel like I'm so absent-minded on this show, like I'm missing things. But I didn't know that was her. I really did. I thought she was just like some IG thought, like trying to just get the business endorsements. I didn't know she was an actress.
Well, yeah, she has a couple movies on Netflix right now, which they were okay, but they were cute enough for it. And but I just,
she was great.
Her character, not that her character was like anything, you know, too deep, but I thought it was like the perfect thing to introduce her to the world of acting on television.
And she pulled her weight. I mean, DC Nash was so impressive to me. I think that she made that character her own. She lived and breathed that character. And I didn't see DC Nash at all. I only saw this character of Desna, which is rare. So I love that. Carrie Preston was also in the show. And she's a really good actress. So to have, you know, to have Karrueche hold her own against those others were great. Was good for her. I love this show, and I really recommend people to look at it. It's a strong ensemble with a lot of people from, like, I recognized a lot of other people, and I was like, what do I know this person from? So I was pretty into that. And it ended season one with all the secrets being revealed, which was a good move from a writing perspective, because now you can go into season two and have all the fallout and all new stuff, so it's a good place to pick it up.
I mean, honestly, like, it was the perfect amount, especially for me to leave reality TV and to find a show that had drama, had the comedy. It was just a great summer show for me.
Yeah, honestly. It was a good summer show.
And it was, I can't wait for season two. I think that they had no balls that were dropped, as crazy as they went. I think they hit every nail on the point, and I'm excited for season two.
Yeah, the finale wasn't as sharp as other episodes were, just in my opinion, I will say. But, you know, I'm really excited. This show is really diverse if you think of all the character types, all the different people, not even necessarily just like races, but just the characters were, you know, you have like a transvestite strip club as like a main set. I mean,
and then
that
the
doesn't
Uncle
make
Daddy,
strange.
And it's like he has like his little pet gay boy and all this stuff. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Dean Norris playing the total opposite role from Breaking Bad. Just completely, like, I don't even recognize him in this either. I'm like, this is just Uncle Daddy. These trashy Florida people. I loved it.
Like, even the Rollers funeral procession with the strippers.
Yes. The best. I had to watch that twice. I was like, this is too much.
And then the crazy woman that with the pube hair, art with the art pube hair.
Oh my God, yeah. I hope they bring her back. That one was whacked out. So yeah, you can check that show out on demand over on TNT if you're looking for something to watch that's just fun. It's just a good summer watch. So let's talk to you and let's catch up a little bit more. Tell me more about Dash Radio. We were talking about it before we recorded, and I'm curious to know what the setup is and if you need a co-host.
Well,
as a guest, I'm not inviting myself on your show.
Always looking for co-hosts. So yeah, I've been working a lot over at Dash Radio. I have a show on Fridays called Nostalgic Pop Radio, NPR Unfiltered. That kind of came across because it was me and a friend, Nicolette Sensei. She does AfterBuzz as well. And so we were just kind of thinking, like, you know, we don't want to talk about real shit, like everything with Trump and just the whole political stuff. It was, everything was so serious, and we were like, what if we just do a show where we just throw it back to the good times, and but we don't talk anything serious, no serious conversation. Like, if you start getting emotional or any of that, nope, you're gonna drop the ball.
You're out.
And so I was like, yeah, you know what I mean, like total opposite from NPR. And then we were like, ooh. NPR, what could that mean? Nostalgic pop radio, your favorite pop hits from back in the day. We bring them to today. We mix it with new artists. So we do that on Dash Radio. You guys can download the app, Dash Radio app. It's super easy. Find our shows. That one on Fridays is iCraft, which is T-Buzz from TLC's network. And yeah, that's from 5 to 7. And then I just started this new show with Tatiana Carrier called In the Tea. And so that we film on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And you guys can check that out on Dash, but also streaming live on Twitch. So we're really excited. Yeah. And Amazon Prime coming soon. So
that's great.
That one is just fun conversation. We talk about everything there. We do relationship advice. We bring in celebrity coaches. We bring in celebrities. And then at the end, we have a live performance. So there's a visual and also an audio aspect to it.
Are you producing all of that as well?
Helping out, yeah.
It sounds like a lot to coordinate, especially having like a live performance show.
NPR, I'm fully working behind it as far as like producing, hosting, and all that. What's nice about In the Tea is it was kind of just more presented as a DJing opportunity, and then it turned into like, I love you, and why don't you just be a co-host?
Yeah.
And so it's nice to finally just be treated, because everything I do, I always produce it. Mm-hmm. I'm always a part of, my hands are in it. And I still do. I help with booking the, you know, musical artists and stuff like that. But that's so easy for me to pull out of my bag. So it's been a nice little treat to just kind of show up and not have to be the actual host.
Yeah.
And just kind of let someone else take the reins and
nice.
Sit back a little bit. And you learn a lot, too, because it's like to watch someone else be in that position, you know, especially she's been doing this for so long. It's kind of like it helps me kind of, you know, sharpen my swords.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So you're taking a little bit of a step back from reality TV. So it sounds like you're going more to music.
Yeah. Well, not really. I think music's always been my like passion, and I lost it a little bit because I got so into like producing and focusing all of my energy into everything else. Last time we talked, I had a podcast idea because it was kind of it's been about a year that I've been in this kind of transition. So I have this podcast called Mood Swings. I was going to release it and all this stuff. And the idea of it has changed so many times that I was like, okay, we got to put it on a back burner right now. Because I was working on this other project called Jesse's House. And that has been the biggest lesson as far as creating your own content. Because it was like, I was doing this thing. I didn't want to just do a podcast. It was just like, I do so many podcasts. I don't want to just do a podcast. I want there to be a visual aspect to it. I want it to be like on a next level production. So I had this idea for Jesse's House, which was what I call a reality talk show adventure. It took me about 4 to 5 different times and days and setup days and crew calls to actually film something, because we would film it and then it wouldn't really look the right way, or I'd work with one director and it was like, oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
What were you doing,
about?
Like a pilot, or are you doing multiple?
Well, so originally the idea was to get it to figure out so that I could record it on a weekly basis.
Yep.
But when we finally got it to the way I wanted it and I watched it back, I was like, oh, we just filmed a sitcom. And which I was impressed with myself, like, whoa, this was kind of really cool. Now I have this footage of basically sitcom. So, but it's very expensive and it's hard to do that on a weekly basis. So we shot a pilot that I'm now happy with. We get animation artists working on it because that, like, I have this whole thing where these little characters come out of my head and they talk to me, kind of like a good and bad little characters. Which will also tie into the Mood Swing podcast. So everything I do, I want it to be attached. I want it to be connected in some way. And so it was just kind of like, it wasn't time for Mood Swings. It wasn't time for me to put anything out. It was time for Jesse to sit down on his own and really put the work in and say, okay, what do you really want and what do you want to create? Mm-hmm. What's your vision? And that has been the whole past year. Now with Mood Swings, I have this tendency of overthinking a lot, and I definitely did that with Mood Swings. I'm glad I waited, because what I was going to put out for Mood Swings would have just taken me to doing something different. And now it's kind of like, okay, you don't have to kill yourself in everything. There can be a simplicity, you know, in your life. And Mood Swings.
Imagine that. I know. I'm trying to convince myself of that myself every day.
So Mood Swings is definitely that for me. And I'm excited. I don't have a date. That's my other thing. I'm not putting no dates out until it's already in the RSS feed, ready to go. I've learned that. So right now, my biggest focus is the stuff over at Dash right now, as far as what I'm putting out. And then I also do, I say I'm against reality TV, but I still do Reality Check every Sunday over at Black Hollywood Live, which is one of my favorite shows to do because it's me and Ashley Gray, and we both can't stand reality TV, and that's our point of view of reality TV. So we just kind of swipe through all the topics and rant about it.
Yeah, I know a little something about that on the show. Yeah, I feel ya. So that's what's coming up is the Mood Swings podcast. What are we expecting with that? Like, what exactly are you analyzing?
It's very Joe Rogan-ish. In the sense of like that rawness, it's, you know, I wanted it to be this, like, at first, originally it was going to be this whole situation with the therapists and celebrities. And I'm like, overproducing, Jesse, stop. Mm-hmm. You produce everything. Don't produce this one. So it was like, okay. So it's just life conversations between friends, not really digging into Hollywood stuff. There will be celebrities involved, but it's not about that glitz and glamour. It's about just what we go through out here and the reality of it. Cause I think there are sometimes I allow the delusion to affect me because it's like, you have to go to the party. You have to be friends with these people. You have to show face and do certain things to get, and you know, then people are hitting you up thinking you're making millions of dollars and you're like, well, wait a minute, I want to move out there and do what you're doing. I'm like, do you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Let's really talk about it. And so it's just kind of like the emotions of that. And I am probably one of the most moodiest people because when I'm on camera, that is my release. That is a time. And
because you can't do anything else. You can't address anything. You can't put out any fires. You can't work on anything. You're on a live stream and you have to do one thing. Yep. That's it. And I have the same mindset. It's my only moment of peace.
And we've been spoiled because, well, more so, I feel like I've been spoiled, but I've been able with AfterBuzz to really pick who I'm working with. And these are my friends. And so it's like, you're looking at me at Jesse's like peak. Like, I am the most relaxed. I walk up into AfterBuzz like, hey, bitches.
Yeah, yep.
And I sit down with my friends and I haven't seen them all week. And this is a time where we can just release ourselves. So yes, you are witnessing that. So then when someone meets me, they're like, wow, you're a lot chiller in person. Like, well, if I was walking around here like AfterBuzz, well, then, you know, I would probably need medication or something.
Right.
And but then they're like, well, that's not really you. It is me. It's kind of like the Taylor Swift thing at the end.
I thought about this the other day. I was like, because I'm very quiet before we go on air because I'm getting all my thoughts together and everyone else, you know, they're doing the Snapchat and they're promoting the show and tweeting. I don't do any of that. I'm very quiet into myself. And then we had one guest on and she's like, come on. She's like, you need to be a little bit more into this show. I was like, just wait, don't worry. And then the music starts up and the show goes. And it's not me being fake or false. It's just that's when I'm on and that's when I'm the most comfortable. Most people would be the least comfortable with a live mic in front of them. But for me, that's when I come alive. So I can relate to that. And I'm not like that all the time either. I mean, half the time I spend a lot of time by myself.
Yep.
I live alone, which is by choice, but I work very independently. And when I have a chance to be social and to be on, I mean, I'm fully me, you know? I feel like I would like to hear about this show.
No, and that's what it is. And it's, I want it very much so, like, it's my opportunity to be able to say, you know what I mean, to my friends, like, hey, Grant, come talk on the show.
Right.
Like, that's what I really want it to be. I was trying to make it into something else, and it's like, that's what Jesse's House is for. That's what these other programs that you're creating are for, that. Be creative, be artistic, but this needs to be something, this needs to show your conversations that you have, and you know, and to be able to bring people and talk about their experiences and whatnot. So, and to really just go there, you know, because I think that one thing people do feel comfortable with me is I'll, you know, say something that you may not want to talk about, but I make you feel comfortable enough to talk about it. Yeah. And it's not a judgmental place. It's, you know what I mean? We might do a little roast here and there, but I mean, it's not in a negative way. It's it's all in fun and games and it's all to build and, you know what I mean, be better people. And so.
Yeah. I mean, you're one of the few people that has been on this show, I feel like, that gets the effort and the work that goes into just producing your own stuff.
And that's why I also really want people to understand, like, Yeah, when you see me on a street, like, my mind is zoned out, focused. Before a show, like you said, it takes time to sit there and prep, and you're reading all these stories. You're sitting on a computer for how many hours beforehand, writing it down. Like, is this story good enough? Is this one good enough? Like, mm-hmm. you know, that puts you in a certain mindset. And Definitely. Then even to go there, go to the studio, and you have to make sure everything's set up and all that stuff. To shift into a host after that, there's a lot going on internally. A lot of the times after the show, you got to go do something else. And it's like, you don't have that time to decompress.
Exactly. And I go straight from work right into this, right yep. into an AfterBuzz show, right into a recap. Like, yeah, I just go, or I do them all at the same time.
No. And so it's like, I feel like I've become this moody person that, or whatever the case is. And it's like, this is my way of explaining that. This is my way of saying, you know what?
We're more similar than different.
No, 100%.
I totally relate, yeah. Especially with just the constant influx of, you know, these projects. The one thing, you know, one show is done. I'm already thinking about what I have to do next week mm-hmm. for this show. Yep. You know, and we're not even done with this week's. It's just a constant train of thought. And you can't stop once you commit. Like, when I first put the show out 2 years ago, yes, it's been 2 years the show's been out. I was anxious to put out those first three episodes, because I thought it would be like a domino effect. Like, once it starts, you just can't stop the train. Like, you've got to do the next one, the next one, the next one. And I've been able to steadily do that. So thank God. But it's very nerve wracking to be so committed to these things, because that's a part of you. You put so much into it, and it's expected, and it needs to get done. And I don't want to be convicted of being lazy. So always working.
Yeah. And then I've been doing live shows, stand-up shows. And that's been kind of interesting, like, just to take, because you get used to doing podcasts and where you can talk for a while, you know, and then it's like transitioning that comedy into, all right, you got 6 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Make that work. Make them laugh. Make it funny. Like, it's just different, because podcasts, it doesn't have to always be funny. You can take that moment to really sit there and talk and explain, where it's like, all right. So I got one coming up at the end of the month. I haven't done a show in almost 2 months now. Because it's just between that, DJing, it's like 1 month I'm a DJ every other weekend. Everyone's getting married or something, or whatever the case is. Then the next one after that is a comedy show every 2 weeks. Like,
damn.
I need a calendar.
Yeah. You need a personal assistant.
I need a personal Google calendar. Siri, you need to work a little harder.
Yep. Well, let me know if you need support with any of your projects, especially, like, just to jump in. I'm trying to get on a couple of shows as a guest, just hang out and just have fun, just something a little different.
Oh, we're going to have you on Dad. We're going to definitely get you on Dad.
Yeah, just have some fun, you know? I feel like I do a lot of the same stuff. I talk a lot about all the same shows, and I'm trying to, like, make it a little bit more fresh for myself.
We're
going
to loosen you up and get you on NPR Unfiltered, listen to some old 90s throwbacks, because we'd be dancing in there, twerking, filming it. Maybe doing, like,
I see your Facebook Lives and all this stuff. Like, you guys are having a good time. So you need to find these shows, people, for Jesse over on Dash Radio. What are the names of them again, so people can search?
Fridays, NPR Unfiltered, and then Tuesdays is The Tea.
The Tea.
With Tatiana.
There you go. Search for it. Look for it. And please continue to support this podcast, whatever you like. If you didn't know, there is some bonus content over on our YouTube channel. Okay. So, you know, if you want to support the show, you can always support us on Patreon. But if you want to just catch up and listen to some old episodes and some old clips, you can subscribe to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk over on YouTube, just as an FYI. Just trying to draw people everywhere. Go check it out, people. A lot of work goes into the show. So thank you for all your support. And support the show. Jesse, where can we find you?
Boom. Hit me up everywhere across social media at DJ Jesse J. And that's DJJESSEJ. Because I don't know why people want to add an I. They want to put my name with a Y. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What, Jesse with a Y? Like, that's a thing? Like, people would really be like, yeah, Jesse. Like, what?
Yeah, well, maybe a girl, but I've never seen a guy with a Y.
Right. So DJ Jesse J everywhere. Grant, thank you for having me on and supporting me all the time. I appreciate you.
Of course. Yeah. Our 1 year later reunion. Yeah.
We're done. Please leave. I'm asking you to leave.
All right. We'll be more rants to come. I love you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants.
Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.